Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Cause they giving you the latest on everything on your playlist. This bet the safest from basements to greatness. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram. Might think you fly, but ain't nice as my guys. Got eyes on the prize. So like and subscribe. We back in the booth. I think that they gon' eat this up. The ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain. We have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here. Video Game Bang is back. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about and relevant stuff to talk about to the people on this panel specifically. Do you still do your Overwatch podcast? What happened?
No, I've only watched like four matches of the season thus far this year. Maybe about seven or eight, but like I have not been following the Overwatch esports as much as I used to. So
you back there. Were they pissed? They're like, oh man, ever since Kyle started doing all that Video Game Bang podcast, he's not even reliable anymore. Let's be honest, was there a big fight?
It was 100% a mutual thing though. Like he and I were both like, yeah, I kinda don't really like, I don't want to watch Overwatch League, let alone like contenders right now.
So and he
like,
said, yeah, you're fired.
True. Yep.
Is he still doing it himself?
No, he's feeling the exact same way. I still play games with him like every 2 days.
So. Okay. Well, we're going to be talking all about some Overwatch 2 news and stuff, so stick around for that. Also, hot off the heels of an emergency surgery that we covered. Yeah, we've been kind of giving everybody updates week to week, but now she is back to full strength and back in our humble abode here. How's it going, Lexi? Tell us what happened.
You know, one day you wake up and the next you're in surgery. Like, that's exactly what happened to me. Thanks guys for all the support during the time that I was gone. Still have a little pain, but basically I woke up one day. Actually, I left, had to go home because I had a death in my family. Came back to California and woke up, went to work, you know, online, doing what I supposed to
all
do.
All normal,
and then just get this like horrible, excruciating pain, and I was just like, "It's just gas." That was my first. Like, in my head, I'm like, "It's gas. It'll pass. Like it'll be fine." Waited it out the rest of the day.
Never waited out.
I know you never waited out, and so I eventually later that day went to urgent care, did tests. They couldn't find anything. But they noticed my white blood cell count, I guess, was up, which was kind of off. So they ordered like a CT scan. So that was the next day. Went in for the CT scan and they did like the dye stuff in your veins. Never had it. Was freaking out.
Dang.
And all I see is that everybody who was in like that area getting tests done, they were leaving. Like the nurse was coming out. Oh, you're good to go back to your doctor. You're fine. You're good to go. You know, she comes out to me. She's like, do you have someone here? I'm like, huh? She's like, can you go over to the emergency room? I said, what?
What?
And she doesn't tell me what's going on. And so I'm like freaking out again. Have no idea. I start walking to the emergency room because it's all like a connected type building.
Yeah.
And then my doctor calls me and he goes, we have a room set up, blah, blah, blah. Get to the room. Long story short, there's a surgeon in there. He goes, yeah, your appendix was almost about to rupture. Like, it was, like, right there. It had got infected. It was inflamed. And I had appendicitis. And I was like, what the crap? I was really shocked. So that's what happened to me. And then they did surgery that same day. So literally went in for the CT that night at 6 p.m. I was having surgery.
That's what you get, Lexi. You had a bronze appendix.
And I did.
And you needed to get rid of that thing.
I had no idea. It was
Are you wearing a Killswitch Engage shirt, by the way?
How did you know?
Bro, I called it out in pre-show, and I was like, yo, mad respect.
Wow. I didn't know Lexi was a metal
bands of all time.
Did you just hold up the devil horns, too? How can anybody that bright and bubbly ever be a big metalhead?
I mean, you're just...
It's your last serenade, dude. That's all.
That just means there's some really dark stuff down below, beneath the surface of Lexi's out exterior. There's some pain.
We should have that chat.
There's some pain. That'll be a whole different podcast. Speaking of pain, I'm sure Jada is in a world of pain, taking on a brand new job, the largest video game. What do you call him? Like a news source in the on the planet. And you had your first week. How did it go?
You know, it was peachy keen. Nothing, no issues whatsoever. Yeah, it was just a normal, what you'd expect out of the first day on any job whatsoever.
Nothing totally happened.
It's just totally normal.
No major breakdowns and anything happened with IGN this week. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And this is what's great about this show now. Like, we have people that are in the industry, so we're going to be tied to certain stories. So you have to understand that our jobs are way more important than this podcast. So the rest of us will talk about it, and Jada will chime in with what Jada is comfortable with. There's no pressure, expectations of digging. This has happened to us before when there's like some crazy Overwatch news or controversy around players that are in the organizations I represent. So it's just a way that we have to do it. So if one of us clams up during certain aspects, it's just because our jobs are important.
We enjoy our jobs, yeah, and we would like to continue them very much.
There's things called NDAs, and so it's going to be we'll do what we can. So we let's start with the Overwatch, though, because this is the one that I think I got a couple angry messages from Kyle on Discord, or confused, scared, panicked. Basically what happened is there was a big PvP reveal, because of course at BlizzCon Line this year they gave the PvP zero love, and there's a lot of people wondering what was going on. And they started off with the bombshell news that it is confirmed going to 5v5, and everyone proceeded to just lose their freaking minds on Twitter. Kyle, what was your reaction to this? As someone who knows the game extensively but has recently started to drift, what are you feeling? Does this bring you back?
I mean,
push you away?
I don't watch that much, but I play it. Decent amounts. I got all my placements done yesterday, played with a group of friends, and so like I think it's a wholly different thing, watching versus playing. And so watching is a little rough because it's like the teams are still all playing the same thing, but now we have this massive change. Only one tank in the entire team. You don't have a backup, you don't have an off tank, you don't have any of that, so that's always gonna cause some controversy. A lot of Overwatch League players tweeting that, all right, cool, well, I'm out. Later.
Yeah.
It was good while it lasted. Yeah. I'm fired.
Yeah.
So some of them was in jest with, like, you know, people. I think it was Smurf tweeting at Super and Choi, being like, bye, guys.
Yeah, see you later.
And then there's, like, from the Atlanta Reign, Hawk is like, this is the dumbest thing, this is so stupid, and like gave other reasons or like why you should be doing this, you know, like it makes sense. Like, these people are fearing for their job security. That's a pretty valid fear. It's pretty understandable to be angry and frustrated over that.
It's tough because
someone explain.
One thing I will say is, hey, you know, the job market is hard out there. Even for the Overwatch team, payrolls had to get cut somewhere for the actual, you know, Soldier 76 and Ana can't front the bills for the whole team of Overwatch. So, you know, they can only afford to take 5 members into the field now.
I just want to know the difference between, like, I guess the old version and the new version. Because, like, to me, I'm thinking, like, 5-man, like, league. Like, mm-hmm.
So
you have your 5 people on each team, and that's how it is. So
like, and now imagine you've grown accustomed to 5v5 on League, and then they say, all right, we're making League 2. next year, and you're going to have four people. We're getting rid of
no duo lane. You don't have a support, or you don't have a jungle.
We're killing the jungle position. Yeah, we're no longer going to have. So everybody who was a professional jungle is like, wow,
out.
I'm out of the job. Okay. And then even kind of trickles down to people, you know, players, casuals. You know, like I play with my friend, and someone else plays tank, and now, you know, we just can't play together no more.
So was it six man before?
Yeah, it was six. And it was 2-2-2. Two DPS, two support, two tank, you know, locked every time. Now they're going to
They probably thought that was overpowered and was like, y'all got to stop this. We got to get y'all out of here.
One of the, there's a ton of reasons that make sense. First off, queue times for tanks were, like, at different levels, they were pretty rough. So, like, they needed an incentive to get people to play tank or reduce the amount of players it took to play tank. And so they, if you cut the tank requirement in half, you can now easily find games for people instead, because everyone would rather queue up DPS and then second behind that support, and then third was tank, as well as you had 12 people on the map at a time. And from a third person observing perspective, it is a messy game. Especially when you have, like, Orisa and her shield, and then you've got Sigma and his shield or barrier, and then you've got the Symmetra and her giant wall. It's just absolute madness and chaos.
Characters like Farah flying around and things like that, so there's so many angles to cover.
Yeah.
One less character is definitely going to help clarify what's going on in the from a viewer standpoint, for sure.
It's tough when you separate yourself from, like, the Overwatch viewer fan part just to the pure gamist. There's different ways to think about it, and the developer too. Like, it's hard. We talked about this on a previous show. Like, it's probably, you know, multiple, like, so much faster and easier to balance five characters than six.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
Every sequence
exponentially
yep. quicker, you know, and more fair. And I think that was, like, the biggest issue with the first Overwatch was balancing. It was changing. Yeah. There's always something broken and always something to complain about. It does suck, you know, but it seems like they're making tanks like kind of like little mini bosses. Like, they got way more health than they had before. They're giving them all kind of new added abilities. So it feels
you don't
like...
don't get as much ult charge when you shoot them.
They're switching
that up a lot.
Yeah, because that's... And that's talking super metagame. Like, in the high-end game, if there's a Roadhog, you always want to shoot him just to farm your ults and stuff. And
so
you target the tanks anyways. And this, it less incentivizes you to go after them if you're trying to build ult. And that's not going to matter until you get into the high class, though. When you're fucking playing silver, they're just going to shoot the biggest character all the time.
Yep.
So wait, are tanks, like, in League, how, like, the tank is, like, top usually, and, like, they could make or break a game because they're, like, holding it down?
In
team fights, they're, like, the
in a team fight, it's a similar role.
Yeah.
You're the one who needs to create the space. You're the one who needs to draw the attention to
create barriers.
Okay.
Yeah,
and absorb the damage and kind of be the hey, look at me, while your DPS kills stuff and your supports keep you alive.
I'm excited as just a tank player, because I really feel like it's kind of just a different, your job gets way more important. The level of gameplay to be a tank is going to go up. And tanks are going to carry fights, or they're going to, you know, be the reason you lose. So as long as they can do what they say with the balancing, and, like, cause I know Jay Gist, I don't know how he feels about the changes, but he just keeps saying, like, oh man, I'm just going to target tanks.
Go somber.
I'm just going to go somber and hack the tanks and make them not have a good time anymore. But if the tanks are as powerful, like, try me, bro. If I got Winston with the new Tesla cannon.
If I got a Winston with a railgun, bro, watch me right click you,
come
Jay.
Come at me, Sombra. Come on, gang, gang.
I think the big thing about it is, you know, just watching, and granted, it wasn't the top tier level of play that they were showing off in their stream.
Yeah, to a fault.
But I think that your tanks are gonna cause your team to reset more often, because in current state of play with Overwatch, you know, if one of your main tank dies, your off tank kind of jumps in to kind of hold the fort until you guys still try to win a fight. And then if you lose both tanks, then you're like, all right, we got to reset.
Yeah.
But now you lose your tank, like, you have nobody on the front line. You kind of, if you don't have a bunch of ults to line up and pick off their back line and just leave their tank by themselves, you're going to have to reset. So I think it's going to really help with, like, team collaboration, I think.
Yeah. I think especially too if you're like running a 3 or 4 stack, and if the tank is not the one that's in your Discord or in your group with you, it is going to be a lot trickier, I think, because the tank role especially is going to be a lot important, but as well, like, every role does get more important because you are, instead of, you know, responsible for 1/6 of the team, now you're 1/5 of the team, and every single person is now more important. But I think also, I feel like that's going to be the major contention point. If, like, okay, well, if our main tank sucks, game over, GG's later. Or if our tank, not even main tank, it's just the tank. If the tank sucks, like, your team's going to flame you or whatever. And it's, yeah, like, it seems like there's a lot of pressure on you. And so, like, if I'm in a 3-stack, I'm like, okay, one of us has to play tank. We can double support and just trust our DPS to do something, or 1 DPS, 1 support. But, like, if I'm in a 3-stack, one of us is always going to Q tank, because, yeah, we at least have that synergy down and, like, understand that we can trust one of those people.
Kind of wanted,
I mean,
to
the big thing is you are going to have 2 supports to heal the singular tank, mm-hmm, now. You know, instead of having Mercy fly back and forth between a Reinhardt and a D.Va, you've got Mercy and Ana sitting on top of a Reinhardt just filling, yeah, him to the brim with healing.
They have, yeah, yeah, one less person to heal. You also have one less tank shooting back at you as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. I think I posted a tweet about that. There's a little, like, there's always more to this than just, like, taking one person out. Okay, well, now I'm going to have 6 people shooting at me. Like, no, like, it's an equal subtraction on both sides.
The other side is playing Ash, and then you have Bob to deal with.
Yeah.
What you said earlier kind of was pretty relevant too, and I think Kyle had a tweet about this, but the level of gameplay that they had, I think, I don't know, it must have been just developers or people they found off the street or something, but
I think it's devs, but, like, I think they elo match the devs, because they, like, they talked, like, when they do playtests, they run it, like, you run the playtest into the matchmaker, and so it'll try to balance the teams and put you with, like, it'll try to, you know, equal SR, so it's not like you're gonna have, like, you know, in game nights or whatever, we have, like, a full, like, a 12-man game where you've got, like, okay, two guys are GM, and so they get picked first, and then you've got, like, a couple, like, plats who maybe are gonna only play support, and then you've got, like, a DPS who's, like, bronze or something, and it's just, like, this game, it's just, it's
sure
at least
they,
balanced, but,
I'm
like,
sure they could have found, like,
that's what I was
tons
saying,
of contracted,
dude,
talent that understand the game better, maybe from the Overwatch League broadcast. Or,
yeah,
pros,
I mean,
former,
like,
pros.
Definitively, we know that they have a cut. Like, if you mean to tell me at the entirety of Blizzard, which I think is, last time I checked, it was like 6,000 people or something like that, at least. Or maybe 3,000. A lot of people. You can't find 12, like, at least
10.
Diamond, maybe,
10.
Players.
They only
I'm
need
watching
10.
Reinhardt, dude.
Yeah,
Reinhardt's legit chasing Pharahs.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, swinging around, missing charges left and right. It was, oh.
It was tough to watch. It made it, like, so distracting where I couldn't even focus on that. And it's not like, though, to be honest, there was much more to gleam. It's like, it's not like it really, mm-hmm, took away too much. Like, it's not like we were going to try and find the new meta off of this gameplay,
yeah,
or anything,
yeah,
by any means. So, yeah.
I think, I guess, 2 points on that. One point I'll say is my thought is they probably did just go for regular average players, because Overwatch 2 is going to have such a huge PvE element to it that they wanted to kind of, like, make it look accessible to, you know, the general audience and people, maybe newcomers to Overwatch, the, you know, the,
yeah,
10,000 people in the world who haven't played Overwatch yet. But I think that's the route they were probably going with that, because, you know, if you bring in these pros, it's really hard. I think it's harder to balance pros against pros than it is to just pick 10 random normal people off the street and throw them in a match, because it's going to be a little more chaotic there. And if you go pros versus pros, you might see a one-sided thing that just wipes the floor, and then it doesn't really. And who knows, maybe some of it was kind of, like, partially scripted to where it's like, okay, it's push mode. We're going to show what happens when you go the opposite direction. So, like,
you know, I can, like, full hold a team in your playtests.
We don't know,
thing, yeah,
and I wouldn't expect it to be that was live, right? Was that pre-taped?
Yeah, it was absolutely pre-taped. I'm
yeah.
Pretty sure.
So
not absolutely. So, I'm pretty sure
because they
want
to go through an edit in case. I'm sure there was some mm-hmm. things where games were things mm-hmm. would crash or whatever. Last bit on this part before we move on, I wanted to go through some of the tweets to go through some of the things that people were saying. So one was from Envy Jane, who's associated with the Dallas Fuel, roughly.
Not anymore. I think they just ended their deal, so he's on his own.
Well, he said, if you think the shift to 5v5 for Overwatch 2 has anything to do with game balance and not just saving the Overwatch League some money, then oh boy, do I have a bridge to sell you. Good luck to the current Overwatch League tank players and any aspiring Overwatch League pros. You're going to need it.
Oh my God. Okay. How much money do you think they're saving? It's literally the they're saving some chairs. It's like, you know, an Aaron Herman Miller. That's yeah. one less PC.
Yeah, we definitely that's use those. A
couple
Miller.
Grand right there. Oh yeah. How much money do you get when you have people who find the games quicker and don't have to wait in queue for 10 minutes? Versus 5 minutes or 3 minutes or 2 minutes or a minute, like the amount more money that they will be getting from this as it just being a new game and it being easier to find matches and easier to have a better experience. Like it's just
and the other thing here, I don't know too much about Jane, to be honest. I don't know what his background was. I know he's really popular in the space and has some degree of respect, but I was disappointed in that tweet, you know, because it feels pretty like not smart, you know. How much pull does he think the Overwatch League
I don't understand that at all. Like
the Overwatch League is like its own entity on the side, and we only find out about major changes like very very shortly beforehand. Like I wasn't even told about the 5v5 thing until people heard about it. Andy was, you know, in some NDA private secret underground lair,
right?
You know, but
literally
not
like the owners talk where they can actually trust each person to not leak anything because these are, you know,
these
$1 million owners,
millions of dollars to get into the league itself. So you'd think you would tell them just a day or two before you tell the world. Yeah. So just with that aspect of alone, like they're not thinking about the Overwatch League when they're making these decisions. No. They're thinking about keeping a player base that's healthy and full and making an entertaining and awesome game play experience. I think the Overwatch stuff is just kind of, you can tell because they would have led with that at BlizzCon.
Yeah. Like, and they would have gotten, okay, well, let's get, you know, LA Gladiators versus The Shock. Let's do them, but with this new match, and we'll see what 5v5. Like, that's not, people are like, why do they not consult the pros on this? And like, I forget when it was, but within the last year or so, I think it was for 2-2-2 lock. It was shared with the teams, and then within like a day or two, it had already gone to like every reporter and gotten leaked. And that's Overwatch League's like, okay, well, we're not telling you shit anymore. Y'all just keep leaking shit. So,
yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It does suck. Like, it would be great to be able to talk to like the people who are best at the game, what they think that this would look like at their level. But it's such a drop in the bucket compared to the overall Overwatch landscape.
The other thing I saw going around was how Seagull had predicted this like 2 years
ago. A year ago. Yeah.
A year or two. There's like a tweet where he pretty much said that verbatim.
And, 1-2-2.
Yep. And here it
smart
is.
Smart guy. He's predicted a lot of good things and is a very good understanding of the game. I would love to see him join their balance team.
Seagull,
I think that he's the only pro thus far that has proven to be like of the understanding and knowledge and experience to be able to like
pay Seagull what he needs to be the new head of competitive. When it comes to this mm-hmm. game, like he can do it. I don't think they could afford him. He if you took the game of what Overwatch is supposed to be and you humanized it, turned it into an AI, it would be Seagull. Like he is fucking Overwatch. That's just brilliant. He hopefully he comes back. Like, that's mm-hmm. when you think of Overwatch 2 coming back.
Oh, that's
Seagull
that's
streams. That's classic heyday of Overwatch. We got some other stuff to talk about, though. We could go on about Overwatch way too long, but we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about Netflix. So we keep on asking, you know, week in, week out, who's going to be the Netflix of video games? Microsoft Games Pass is the Netflix of video games. But Netflix says, hey, we want to be the Netflix of Netflix for video games. And that's what they, at least allegedly, with this article that came out. Have you guys been reading into this, or what do you think?
I saw this in passing, and I was just thinking, like, they already are creating all those shows, like The Witcher and stuff like that, like, so I don't know, like, I'm kind of scared to see what they're gonna do with it, actually. I don't want them to do it and fail, and then, yeah, there'll be uproar, because I do like certain Netflix stuff, but I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, they've done a lot of those. They've been doing those choose your own adventure type games.
Oh, the Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch. That was dope. They did another. They did an Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt one as well. And those were okay. Like, they weren't like the most cutting edge piece of video game entertainment that I'd be like, I can't wait for this to play this on a Friday night after work. But they were cool things to kind of check out and look into. And Netflix has money, man. They have money, so they can throw money at whatever they want. They could literally form their own dev studio and create a Netflix marketplace or something like that. They'll probably, once they get bigger and they've done a couple releases, they'll do a separate bundled app service with Netflix. So you'll have Netflix for just your entertainment, and then they'll have Netflix for and games or and more, because you know they're going to try and jump into everything, because I have a feeling that's where Netflix is going. So what I'm saying is, get your Netflix stock now. But yeah, no, I think they have the financials to go after it. It's just a matter if they have the right business plan to go after it and to get the right people. Because I know they were looking for, I think they were, I saw that they were looking to hire somebody for like the head of games department or something like that, or they just hired somebody. I haven't done a full lot of research into that this week. My researching has been pretty slow this week. But
what do you think a winning business model could be for them, Kyle? What do they got to come in and produce their own games to put on this platform? Or do they need to go out and spend a bunch of money to get studios?
I think it's a bit, what's the word? It's a little overconfident, I think, if you're like, oh, I'm going to build a studio, and we're going to make our own games. Like, a lot of people have tried that. Not a lot of people have succeeded. Why not instead? Because, like, you have to make a good team, and it's hard to make a good team, especially for, like, a large-scale game. And so I think, I mean, they have a lot of phenomenal IPs that, like, their original shows, and I mean, obviously, like, they're making a bunch of content based off of video games and stuff like that. And I think it would be their best idea to continue to, like, license games and work to try to get, like, promotional games and build games based off of, you know, their, I think they did a Stranger Things, like, mobile game, but, like, I feel like you can do a really good, like, four-person co-op adventure game if you wanted to, and, like, have it set in the 80s with the soundtrack, and have, like, you go, you know, venturing through the woods and find the Demogorgon and all that sorts of fun things. Like, you can have that type of experience as a video game within that, like, pre-established world. And so I think that would be way better than the, like, we're gonna make our own games internally. Like, that's good luck, y'all.
I think
they should just go for a full Scott Pilgrim style, like, just freaking Stranger Things, side-scrolling, beat 'em up, D&D classes based on, you know, the show. Like, that would freaking kill, I think.
I think they got to leverage the things they have, you know, and that is a large customer base that already exists. So if you added a feature like video games, it's going to be a lot easier to convert new customers. And then the other thing you got to work on that you do good is your technology. Like, their streaming technology's got to be more robust than the normal, you know. And, you know, you've seen a lot of people trying to get into the cloud or streaming games. I'm sure the pipeline that Netflix has for streaming the millions of hours of content they do every second, you know, could translate easier to actually having the infrastructure to stream a Tomb Raider to your TV without needing a console or something, you know. Yeah. While, you know, Sony is going to have to, you know, put themselves in a hole because, okay, you can only use it on the PlayStation. And then if they do decide to make their own app, now they got to go work a deal with Roku and they need to go make a deal with Amazon to get on there. Netflix already has all that. They have partnerships mm-hmm. to be on every device, you know? So that's
what they
have. I
also feel like they're in the anime world because I've watched so many new animes that are like Netflix originals that I really like. And so I feel like they might do like a RPG type, like,
that'd be sick.
Animated, yeah, like Final Fantasy style, because they have a lot of originals.
That's another good point.
They could also
too.
Do those, like visual novels. Visual novels would mm-hmm. do really well on there.
Oh, mm-hmm. that's right. And they know they already know what everybody likes and what they want. They have more data.
Right.
They know yeah. whether a Witcher porting the Witcher over is going to do more than Angry Birds, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to that point, that would be interesting if they partnered with like that studio.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think one of their best routes to go early on is just publishing. I think they should just kind of introduce themselves as a publisher. And kind of just, you know, find developers that are looking for that funding to get their game out and have them create a version for Netflix. Hmm.
Yeah.
Is what I think.
And I think, like, there's this new gap, like, ever since Telltale got shut down, like, a couple years back, there's been this kind of major lack of really good story, like, immersive, story-based, like, cinematic experiences. And I think that there's potential, like, they've already kind of explored that a little bit with these, like, kind of choose your own adventure stuff, and I feel like you can kind of develop that a bit more and kind of explore that, because I think, like, what Telltale had was super awesome, super great, super unique games, but they were also very similar across, like, one to the other. Like, it all just felt like the
yeah.
same game, just different skins on it.
They didn't evolve.
And that it makes sense of why it didn't, like, they had great success with the
Walking Dead,
yes. And, like, they just, okay, that's our thing. And, like, they tried, kept trying, like, it just wasn't the same, because it's, like, it's the same game, just with a different IP. Like, I don't care now. But, like, I think that they could kind of take that area and see what they can do, because it does seem weird to, like, have Netflix games. I feel like it needs to be somewhat movie-like in some sort of way, either based off of movies or shows, or a much more like cinematic, either a visual novel or like a choose your own adventure like movie kind
yeah.
of thing.
Just
how
to,
you gonna shell out some money? You gonna shell out some money for some FMV games from Netflix? Them full motion videos, those old school. Did I date myself there?
Yeah, I think you did.
A little bit. A little bit.
He's a baby. I think we can move on from that one, and just
yeah.
to also say. That was like kind of based off of like some very loose language in an interview that an executive
yeah.
did. So this is
grasping at
straws. Yeah, we are really out there in space right now with these ideas. So don't be telling your friends, "Video Game Bang says that the Netflix is coming big." We don't know. It was all just fantasy. The next thing we got here is Twitch. This is a story Lexi has been following closer than any of us, because she's been trying to fill a hot tub in her back room so she can get these streams going. But it looks like your time might still be coming. So what did Twitch do? They finally addressed the hot tub meta.
Yeah.
They patched it.
Yeah, so today I was randomly, you know, scrolling, because that's what social media people do. Mm-hmm. You know, we try to look for random stuff. And I passed by this tweet, and somebody had commented about how now Twitch has a section for adults that isn't just chatting. They basically put the hot tub streamers into this section. And I was just, like, sitting there thinking, like, what? And then I saw the article. I'm just like, but what about the 18 and under kids still? Like, I'm still concerned about this, because you, like, is it blocked off? I haven't tried it, guys. I haven't tried it. Don't test me. But, like, is it blocked off to the point, like, I can click on that and an alert comes up, like, you have to be 18 and over to look at these streams? Like, what, has anybody tried it yet?
I don't
I'm
know.
Just curious.
I'm right kind of live on the.
Kyle
let's just try it right now.
Kyle frequents these streams.
You know,
he knows.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to resident.
Go ahead and start this.
Our resident butt expert, Kyle, has to say.
Yes.
I gotta figure out how to even.
Okay, there it is. Yep, it is what, like 12 on literally like top 10, or I think it's what, 14. This is high up. I didn't get a prompt or anything. I do love how PC Gamer has Geralt in a bath, and he's like, he's the sixth top ranked.
I think they literally just, they set that to like a 24-hour loop and like literally put the stream on with Geralt. It's been on like all day today.
Man, that's market.
But you know, they're making the money, so we need to be making the money. So you know what we need to do? This is the plan, guys. You just need to go to Target, get a cute one of those like inflatable swimming pools, put it in, and just like record yourself sitting there drinking wine or whatever the case is, like doing whatever, and then just loop it. People will come watch that stuff. Just get up like every 5 seconds and do something weird and record it, and then just post it on Twitch.
Just post random, like answer randomly to like random things. Like, hey, how's it going? Welcome to the stream. Just chilling in my bubble bath here.
Exactly.
I think my favorite.
With my rubber duckies.
From this article, the thing that I think Slasher on Twitter had posted just the screenshot of, second, while we have guidelines about sexually suggestive content, being found to be sexy by others is not against our rules, is a legitimate quote from article, or from this blog, which I think is just hilarious.
Yeah, why do they think we haven't gotten banned yet?
So, I think that's just a funny thing.
Like, I'm not concerned. Like, yes, make your money. If that's, like, the cheapskate of how we can just make money, go ahead and do it. But I feel like there should be something so there, especially for the kids. Like, I'm just thinking, like.
I'm wondering if I have something on my profile. I don't know.
This
like,
is not.
Because just imagine, like, a six-year-old getting on Twitch. Who has an iPad.
You know, Fortnite
just randomly
streamer.
Watching Fortnite or something. Yeah. And then they're just like wandering off.
Recommended content.
Recommended content. Boom. Boom's in your face. Like, what you gonna tell your kid? Like,
so it's not like Lexi at the beginning said they made like an adult section for it, and it's not like titled adult or don't come in here. It's just called pools, hot tubs, and beaches. So it's
interesting.
Yeah, it's not even like.
So when I go on my vacay to Hawaii, I'm gonna make sure to stream it, and I'm gonna put it under that section, and then y'all will be like,
But
like, I just don't get it. Like, why is this a thing? I just don't. I'm so confused.
And it's crazy.
Like, why not make a YouTube video of you, like a vlog? It's almost like vlogging, but not like you're live.
Because it's the live interaction is so much better. It like, because if you're really thinking that someone on your, but like they're not just sitting there; they're talking and interacting and chatting with people.
Yeah,
like,
if you donate $5,
they put your name on their arm or whatever.
Sharpie your name on their body. What's wrong with that?
But who wants their name on? I don't know.
You really want to ask that question?
Should we pull up the stats right now? Should we pull up the stats? A lot of people, a lot of people.
Like three quarters of the people who listen to this podcast.
I'm just trying to rethink my life now. Now I gotta do some deep soul searching. Like, should I be doing this? Should I be, like, trying to make that money? Do y'all want me to write your name on me? Like, what?
Yeah. So, there's as of right now on a Friday night, which I think would be higher traffic than normal. There's 26,000 people in that category right now, but it's not like they're all just getting huge numbers of views. Like Amaranth is number one with 13,000, of course. Then there's like a 2,000 streamer, a 1,000 streamer, and then it's all below 1,000. And then it drops off pretty quick. So it's not like.
So what you're telling me is that you need to hop on this.
Yeah, I'm saying now's the time.
Now's the time.
Buy to the moon.
To be the top hot tub streamer. What's interesting is if you were to hop on this trend, you should do something unique and different than that top person's doing. You know what I mean? Because then everybody's going to be drawn to you, and then they might have to make another Twitch category. It's like hot tub streamers while mukbanging while ASMRing. That's a whole different category. Like, imagine it. Like, you're in a hot tub and you're like.
I wonder where the delineation between hot tub and gaming. So if I'm gaming in a hot tub,
can I say I'm doing gaming? Or like, if the gaming window is bigger than the hot tub window, is it gaming? Or is it like, if I'm in a hot tub, it has to be a hot tub, even if I'm playing Call of Duty or whatever. Like that.
And if I'm wearing a full body Chewbacca suit in the hot tub playing games, what does that count for? Where does that fall?
Well, if you'll remember, the ruling is if you're too sexy, it's not against TOS. So
That's true. Oh, Chewbacca God. In a hot tub. There you go, Lexi. That's the idea for you.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I would do that. Awesome.
Yeah. Welcome to the chat, Squigs. He is become a big streamer in his own right. I haven't checked out to see if he's doing the hot tub meta yet, but I'm gonna assume it's a yes. Go ahead.
I'll say, you know, on the brighter side of Twitch things, they're growing their tag selection next month.
Oh,
or
really?
Next week. Next week, they're adding 350 new tags in regards to gender, sexual orientation, race, nationality, ability, mental health, and more. And some of them include transgender, black, disabled, veteran, and VTuber, and many others that with references to like allies and such. So, like, you know, it's something that's been a long time coming, and I'm happy that they're finally making the step for that.
Yeah, it's good to share the good things they do with along with the bad, because we give Twitch a hard time on here.
We do constantly.
And I'm going to go a little bit further to say, how long did it really take them to make that update? Like, it's 2021. They should have had that shit out last year.
They literally say in their tag, it's the simple truth is we should have done this sooner.
Yeah.
So they admitted that, hey, we were slow on this.
Yeah. That's
which
like
is the, good.
It's kind of a bare minimum thing. Like,
that is the bare minimum. Yeah.
So good job, Twitch, doing the bare minimum.
Yep.
But still, it's more than we're going to see. Oh, shit. I forgot. Mixer. Yeah. Mixer didn't have that. Roblox, people. Roblox. I don't understand what Roblox is. This is like Minecraft for Zoomers, I think, is what this is.
I thought
my baby cousin is 13. She plays Roblox, just so you know. So, yeah, it's Minecraft.
Think of Minecraft, but a more easily modded and customized Minecraft. So, like, there's tons of, like, Pokemon games that are built completely in Roblox. And, like, you literally go around, you capture Pokemon, you do Pokemon battles, there's gym leaders and everything. Like, it's, like, basically they make full games in Roblox.
It's Zoomer Second Life.
Yeah. What? Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
wow,
yeah.
Cal, you brought up Second Life.
And myself first,
yeah. Someone else play Second Life. Wow. I feel old now.
I
skipped that fad.
Yeah,
you went straight to Sims.
Nah, I'm not into simulation life. I like it's all digital life, just playing as somebody else other than me, or real life.
Yeah.
No in betweens.
I need to be a space monkey that shoots a laser gun if I'm playing a video game.
Oh my god.
So Roblox fans are buying digital Gucci bags for thousands of dollars. So I guess one of the things Roblox also will do like partnerships with collabs with companies, and they will put some of their items in the game for limited times, like a little marketplace. And then it looks like there's like a third hand marketplace where things you buy, you could resell to other players. So the Gucci bag came through and sold for like $4 or something like that, but they only sold it for 1 hour. And for whatever reason, these bags in the game are now going for up to $4,000 and upwards of Roblox money to have a little aesthetic that's a Gucci bag. This terrifies me because, exactly, I thought every time I hear Roblox, it's little kids playing it. Is this a game for, like, children? How is it allowed to have this giant gray area where they could have a black market for Gucci bags?
Well, I would say, like, also, so you have, like, the young kids playing it, but then you have, like, their brothers and sisters playing. Like, my cousin asked me, like, can you hop on Roblox and help me get this thing? So, you know, like, you have the older kids and siblings or whatever coming down, like, okay, let me download the app, let me play. So I don't know if it's that, like, the kids are like, help me buy this $4,000 bag.
I've never felt more old. Like, I'm so out of this. How is this safe? Like, what if Mara tells me tomorrow, hey, Dad, can I play Roblox? And I give her the game. How do I know she's not going to buy a $4,000 Gucci bag?
You don't
put
Corey.
Your credit card on her.
You don't, Corey. She will find your credit card and put it in for you. She'll Google how to make an online transaction. She'll put in your number. She's like, what is a CVV code?
This almost sounds like World of Warcraft. Like when there was, like, I never played like that hardcore, but I had friends that did, and I know like they would buy special items and stuff that cost a lot. Like it'll be that rare thing. It's kind of like League, even like people have these accounts that they sell because they have like all these rare skins from the beginning of time, and those accounts are worth a lot. So I don't know.
I'm waiting on my retirement day in League to come up for that payday, because I've got like the King Rammus skin like the Uncle Rise, so like I've got all the OG skins.
I think I
spent way too much on League.
I think it's a bit tricky with this, because like on World of Warcraft, at least to my understanding, like, there you can't buy money. Like you can buy like an item maybe, but like you can't buy money in the same way that you can in Roblox, and like you could in Second Life, which is how people spent millions of dollars and made millions of dollars on that. Like it, when you have that cash equivalent and the currency is worth, like, it's almost like a cryptocurrency at that point, or it's like it's its own definitive currency. It gets a bit weird, because then you have these things where it's like essentially, it's like someone is spending real money on a thing, because I need to spend real money to get the fake money, and then I spend the fake money to get the thing. Whereas in World of Warcraft or whatever, you would make the fake money and then spend the fake money on fake things, and it would be all in this nice little ecosystem where it doesn't bleed into the real world and get into this weird, like, holy shit, my kid just spent $4,000 on some stupid Gucci bag that's not even real, it's a 3D model of a like, what?
This is kids like loophole to get into the stock market, because there's more to the story, I guess. There was some controversy behind the Gucci partnership in general, so it was not viewed as like positive. So when that bag went on sale as like the marquee item for just 1 hour, not many people bought it. And then, you know, through meme culture probably, or some joke, or some popular person had it, then everybody needed it. That jacked up the prices, so then they were worth thousands of dollars. Because the next day, or 2 days later, it says they made another Gucci bag thing, and then everybody bought the spike, because everyone was like, oh, you know, it's going to be like the last one. And it wasn't, and now that one's worth like garbage now. It's not worth anything. So if anything, you learn that's kind of how the stock market works, kiddos. Like, you buy the dip. You don't buy when everyone's paying attention to it. So
that's the lesson from this that they were trying to teach.
Yeah, maybe I do need
getting that. Kids. You know how we complained about how there's no education on financial security and how to be, you know, a smart spender.
Exactly.
Roblox has you covered now.
No cap, I own Roblox stock, like a lot of it, because as soon as when it went public, I bought like as soon as I could, just because Zoomers are weird, and I don't know.
It's just
It was if another, you know, round of this GameStop thing happens, it's going to be to Roblox. So I'm just going to get my Roblox and hold it until it goes to the moon when, you know, Elon Musk decides to gas it.
Buy Roblox.
That's such a smart, like, early investment, Corey, on your part. There's a developer, I can't remember his name right now, but his next game is, you have to be in Roblox. To play it. It's built completely in Roblox. And he's a semi-prolific developer. I just don't remember his name off the top of my head.
It's Peter Molyneux, Jada. You can just name
we're getting drop. Fable 3. We're going to finally get that apple to grow into a tree.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Bob. We got our last story here we can dive into too. So, IGN, man, this one flew over my head. I knew it was something and I saw some tweets going around, but I definitely am going to need Kyle here to walk me through what happened and how I should feel about it.
Yeah. So, basically, if anyone has been living under a rock, there has been a lot of, for the last, couple hundred, if not thousands of years, there's been Palestine-Israel issues. And so it's kicking off again, and not good things are being done to the people of Palestine. And so the staff at IGN, posted a, hey, if you'd like to help the people of Palestine, here's some great resources. They're not making a political statement.
Was this social media, or to their website?
On their Twitter. It was at least posted there, and I think through their website, I think there was links from there.
Yep.
And so that wasn't like... And this is a thing that people will always take it and blow it out of proportion. Like, oh, by saying you want to help the people of Palestine who got their homes blown up, you mean you hate Israel. Like, oh, okay.
So that's what happened. They started getting attacked Okay.
And, yeah, it turns into one of those sorts of things. And then overnight, when no one else was on checking the internet, that tweet got pulled and that whole thing got shut down. People were like, was it a weird technical glitch or whatever? And then it later found out that it had been done by the order or by someone who's very, very high up the chain and like the, not even the top of IGN, but the people who own IGN or something along those lines.
Is it part of like a media network or something? And it's like some higher up.
IGN is owned by Ziff Davis and J2 Global, which is the parent company, and they own a bunch of other things, Mashable and tons of other stuff.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yes.
That is our parent company.
So that was, so I think, something in relation to that.
It came from the top. It came from the TV top.
And so then, and I think that this is the thing that like stoked a lot of the gamer and the more like, you know, politically aware Twitterverse of like, they then penned a lot of the people at IGN then got together and like put a letter out to the people who were responsible for getting that pulled down and saying, listen, we are we're journalists. This is literally like, we're supposed to have journalistic integrity and not let the ownership of our publication dictate what stories we do and do not push, because that completely invalidates the entire journalistic system and goes completely against all of the things that you're taught in school to like, you write the truth,
yeah,
and you write what you want to write, and the money does not tell you what the truth is or isn't. And so when everyone kind of got together and said, listen, this is, you cannot do that, and it seems like there are things that are being done as a positive result of that. If anyone has other info, feel free to hop in, but that's just from what my understanding of the situation was.
So was the letter, was the letter open? Like, or did they post it somewhere to like their website, or was this a private letter that got leaked?
The letter was posted. The letter was posted on Twitter. And that's pretty much all I can really say. I can't really comment too much on it. I'm not speaking on behalf of IGN or anybody on it. But yes, a letter was posted by many members of the staff onto their personal Twitters. And you can look on Twitter for that or find, and there's plenty of articles if you want to know more about that. I can't speak on it just because I am now part of the company, even though it all happened before my joining the company. I can't speak on it.
Hell of a first day.
As obviously. Very fun first day.
To IGN. Well, if anybody can handle a tense situation and stuff, like, they got the right person in there, so that's good for
them.
Thank
you, I appreciate it.
That's pretty brave of them. Like, from where I'm sitting, just with the details I have at the moment, I think that's the right course of action to do. I think not doing anything would probably have been a bad idea, you know, just showing you're getting bullied by the man. So I don't know. Has there been any resolution from this yet, Kyle?
Not that I have seen just yet. I think it's one of those things that's being worked on. It's going to take a hot minute, but
do you think the pressure will stay on enough to where people like really care following this? Or do you see, because another thing I'm noticing too, even with all this Israel Palestine, you know, controversy going on, that it seems like a big deal that, one of those big deals that's like really relevant and people should be paying attention to, but they're more important, you know, worried about the Jake Paul, you know, Conor McGregor fights, you know, like it seems like a huge deal that nobody's paying attention. So do you think this will have to resolve, or do you think?
I will say there's been a ceasefire was like, I saw posted about that. There was a truce that was called, very recently, like I think as of yesterday.
Yeah.
So it seems like things are starting to like kind of work towards peaceful negotiations there, which is great. I'm super happy because I don't want to see war anywhere, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, war is inevitable at periods of time throughout history, but I mean, if you can negotiate and not, you know, kill a bunch of people to fix a situation, then that's, I always opt for that in real life. Video games, let's go to war. Let's go. But real life, like, there's no reason we should be, you know, getting kids hurt or anything like that, or families, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. So much drama in the VGB. It's kind of hard being Jada Rina G.
You had it going really solid.
I almost had it, man. I got lost. Why does your name rhyme
with... You hit the double south cow, and you were like about to land, stick the landing and go backwards, and then your skate kind of ducked out, and you like twisted your ankle a little bit at the end.
I was like, why?
But somehow, some way, we just...
Buy the album.
Keep coming up with funky-ass episodes every single day. Kyle, man, what's going on? Where can people learn about, follow you and Viewser and blown up on social media today.
Yeah, we got the Xbox hit us up, but like they got a post, or they posted like four, you know, your top four games. If you can go back to 2007, would you play Halo 3, Bioshock, Mass Effect, or Rock?
Oh, Rockstar!
Luck
being
on that podium. Rock, that is a beautiful list.
But
of
they
games.
Didn't tag Even if you.
They didn't tag us. They didn't tag any other games either. So it's equal. It's equal.
Come
but
on, Xbox social
cool.
media person.
But yeah, Fuser, I think just got a. I need to check this before I say.
Do you got royals?
I need to make sure.
We got an update. They got an update, maybe.
Yeah. There's some stuff coming.
Okay,
I gotta make sure.
How many Doobie Brothers songs do you have?
Oh God, you know, let me just pull that up real quick. How many Doobie Brothers songs? Okay, it is okay. Fuser just dropped to $40, by the way. So if you're like wanting to play Fuser, and we're like, oh, $60 is a lot. It's now $40
for good, or is
for the
this
base
limited
game
time only.
I
you can't say.
Pretty sure it's not a sale. It is not a sale. Oh. It is a drop, like
red,
a price drop.
Red alert, people, go get Fuser. I actually want to live out my DJ fantasies. I played the game Drop Mix, the little board game where you put the cards on.
That was
like,
dope.
That's such a cool game, and to figure out that they like expanded on that and made it a full-fledged video game, I'm gonna keep talking about it on the podcast so I could then Kyle could go back to his boss and be like, they've been promoting it to like 300 people.
I mean, yeah.
Sponsored streamer. Speaking of sponsored streamer, Killswitch Engage. What's your favorite Killswitch song, Lexi? I just gotta know.
My curse. It's all about the My Curse. Ah, I love My Curse.
I mean, and a heartache, though.
Holy Diver, bro.
Holy Diver. Holy Diver is dope.
That's, I mean, there's so many good ones, Corey. God. Don't put me on spot. Like,
all right. Who's your favorite Killswitch singer?
Is it Howard or is it Jesse?
Jesse Leach.
It's Howard. It's
Howard
be
has
Howard.
A really, yeah.
Howard,
Howard has a really good.
So
voice.
Much better.
But I do like. He has very a very melodic, like smooth voice, I guess.
Yeah.
But I do like Jesse Leach. But yeah.
They're good. I think. Are they coming to Sacramento for the? The big festival.
I would be surprised if they weren't at Aftershock.
I think they're gonna be at Aftershock.
We're
actually had two announcements.
Oh, you got some announcements?
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay.
So the first one, I don't know how many people play PGA Tour 2K.
Oh, all of us.
If you do, and you're into golf games, and I hate that Skip isn't on this call. And you like NBA 2K or NBA games.
Uh-huh.
We actually fused together and created all this My Player gear that is from your favorite NBA teams that is now integrated into PGA Tour.
Shut
so you can
the
get
front
out
door.
On the green and partay, literally.
Dressed in your King's merch?
So cool. Exactly.
Wow.
In your King's merch.
Okay. That's a crossover I didn't know we needed.
Mic drop.
So you mean to tell me, Lexi, that the NBA 2K universe and the PGA 2K universe is shared?
It's a yeah. metaverse.
It's like the Marvel Cinematic Universe of 2K. You can get Tiger Woods in your NBA. Wow, that's great. That's big news.
So that's the first announcement. Okay. So if you like PGA Tour 2K and you want to play with your favorite team gear from NBA,
okay,
by all means, check it out. The second announcement is that we've dropped a lot of content for behind the scenes things for WWE, if you like WWE. So for WWE 2K22, so make sure to continue to follow us and also follow our dev channel for those updates and spiciness.
But so, can I be the Macho Man? That's the only thing I want to know.
I will make sure to ask if you can be a mascot.
No, if you tell me the Macho Man is going to be available day one, I will pre-order the game right now because your boy got to throw.
I will buy the $80 premium deluxe edition.
Yep.
Give me like a little Macho Man statue in the box and I can do an unboxing on the podcast. The Macho Man
jacket with the big frills and stuff. Oh, hell yeah. And a box of Slim Jims.
Cream of the creamers, dude. Little creamers in the loot crate.
Snap into a Slim Jim. Nah, that's who we need. Give me the Macho Man day one bye. Jada, what about you? Where can people keep up with all the great work you're doing over at IGN and your personal account? Are you streaming again? Come on, give us the
deets. I am streaming again. Yeah, I've been streaming a little bit. I did Mass Effect on its launch last week. I apologize to anybody who watched because it was the worst part of Mass Effect 1, the very beginning. I swear, Mass Effect 1 has the worst opening for any games. But yeah, you can catch me on streaming on twitch.tv/JadeArena. You can catch me on Twitter, Jada_Arena. I'll be in the comments section as the community lead over at IGN. So you can, you'll see my comments and such and stuff there.
Yes, yes, yes. And as for myself, you can follow me on Twitter at What's Up Pizzas. That's where I'm the most active. And I've been throwing out some bangers for everybody lately. My Overwatch tweets, like, bang. And then I try and tweet about anything that, in my real life, and it does no numbers. So I kind of need some support from the VGB listeners who want to go on there.
And some more of those family pictures and the dog in the backyard. Yeah. Three hearts, post an Overwatch meme, like 6K. Bam. 1400 retweets.
Yeah, boy. So, I don't know. You can come hang out with me over on Twitter. But otherwise, you catch me right here on the same dog time, same dog channel for Kyle the Winner, Lexi Bell, and Jade Arena. My name is Corey saying you've just been banged.
Bye.
Corey had to make up me a name like Jada's.